of all our hearts. Restore us, renew us, that we can hear the word read and proclaimed, our prayers prayed, our songs sung, our celebration of our youth and our youth leaders. It's this time that we come together as a community, that we are grateful for this. All the different roads that we walk to be here today, our lives that have come together to this moment, the richness and the diversity that's brought us into this community of Good Shepherd, that we are grateful for this time, that we can learn of your teachings and carry the light of you out into the world. The light that shines in the darkness is a light that shines in each of us. Just as Jesus preached in the Sermon on the Mount, that our lives matter too, that we are beloved children of God, just the way God made us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So these are beautiful passages. So thank you, Scouts, for reading. That comes from the Apostle Paul. And so those are letters. So Paul is a real person in a real time writing these real letters. And he's writing to a church, the letter of Galatians. He's writing a real letter. And it matters because he has these important things to talk about that when we struggle. He's talking about these fruits of the Spirit. Now I want to pivot for a moment. So this week I was asked to teach the religion class at Good Shepherd. So I taught religion to sixth graders. And I was asked to teach on the Reformation, stay with me, the Reformation and Martin Luther. Now I know most of you are not really brushed up on this. So the Reformation happens in 1517 in Germany. And Martin Luther nails up the 95 Theses. And it's a big moment. So I start off with the sixth grader and I said, have you ever heard of Martin Luther? And they said, is that Martin Luther King's dad? And I said, okay, we had a good starting base of where we would go from there. So we went back 500 years from Martin Luther King and we got to Martin Luther. Why this is important and how this will get back to the Apostle Paul is this. Because Martin Luther stood squarely in the path of the most powerful institution on earth at the time, which was the Catholic Church. And he said, what you're doing is wrong. What you're doing is criminal. What you're doing is abusive. And they didn't like hearing it. So all of these years now we're pouring down to this moment. So keep in mind, the bubonic plague could wipe out whole towns in days. People died easily. So this holding of heaven and being damned forever was quite powerful and or catastrophic. And he said, we're better than that. Now let's go back 1,500 years to the Apostle Paul, to the letters that you just read. The book of Galatians. The book of Philippians. Because Paul is doing the very same thing. And he's saying, you're important. And he's standing squarely in the path of the Jewish temple leaders who are very disappointed in him, in what he's doing. So when Paul writes the letter of Philippians, he's not in his studio apartment. He's writing from jail. A first century jail would have been not a very fun place to be. They didn't serve food in first century jails. You had to have friends who brought you food. So if your friends didn't bring you any food, you didn't get fed. And so in this place, and why this is an important and joyful message, Paul writes of the joy. He's writing of joy in a place where there would be joyless. He's writing of the love of God in a place that people would not be thinking of the love of God. It would be natural, and most of us in the same situation would be angry, hurt, resentful, full of revenge, filled with a whole host of other emotions and feelings, but Paul is writing of joy and love and gentleness and peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding. It's in this place. And this is good news for all of us, because we can glean something from these letters and why they're so extraordinary and why we can take comfort in Paul's letters. Because we too live in frustrating times, in difficult times. We have our social media accounts. We see the silos that we're in. We see the anger, the hate, the vengeance that's out there, the fake news that's out there. We read all that stuff. We get affected by that too. It's easy to get down. It's easy to start pointing the finger at other people. They're not as smart as me. They're not as talented as I am. It's about them. I wish people were more like me. It's easy for us to fall into that. We do. And Paul is saying here, we're more than that. There's a gentleness, what we're called to be. There's a peace that surpasses all understanding. And he's talking about the fruits of the Spirit. So when you reread that passage, the fruits of the Spirit. So later on, I want all of you to take your bulletin, reread that passage on the fruits of the Spirit. And what are your fruits of the Spirit? What gifts do you have? I know I have my God-given talents that are unique to me. And I'm comfortable. I could speak about those. And there's things that I'm not very good at. And I can talk about those too. But all of you have your own God-given talents that are different. So when we come together in a community, the hope is that we're all different people with our different God-given talents. And it makes us unique in all the world. And we bring together these unique gifts of the Spirit. And when these get brought together, beautiful things happen. Holy things happen. Wonderful things happen. And they happen as a result of God, of the love of Christ, that come out of our own unique God-given talents that we all have. And so it's particularly great to see our scouts here today and our scout families, where these themes are upheld and taught. So thank you, scout leaders. Thank you to the scout parents who take this time to say that these are these fruits of the Spirit. We say it, we use different words, but that's what we're talking about, to raise up our children, to teach them that these are values that matter, that bring people together, that we don't compete, that we don't fight, that we find these other ways of being together in a community. And so it's an important time to read those letters today and where we are in our life today, in our world today. They're particularly powerful, particularly timely for all of us to listen to those. So what are your fruits of the Spirit that you have? What are your gifts? What are your God-given talents? And how are you using your unique God-given talents to serve God in the world in some special and unique way that only you can give, because it's your talent that God gave to you? This is a calling for all of us, my friends. May it be so for each of you, and also very much for me. Amen.